So, what you have here on top of page one is the Gemara on Shabbos, Kufiyud Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara introduces the first component of Kavod Shabbos. Okay, so literally that means honoring Shabbos. But what does that mean? What is the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos? So we'll see that it actually has distinct halachic manifestations. So the first one is Big Day Shabbos, dressing in honor of the day of Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Yeshaya, the same one we've been discussing. V'chibadeto me'asos terechecha, honor the day of Shabbos from your normal ways. V'chibadeto, what does it mean to honor Shabbos? Shlo yehei malbushcha shel Shabbos kemalbushcha shel chol. That which you wear, your clothing on Shabbos, should not be the same clothing which you wear during the week. Okay? And the Gemara cites, V'chihad Rabbi Yochanan kari lemane mechabdusi. Rabbi Yochanan used to call his clothing the things that honor him. And if you want to point to something that reflects your honor, so he pointed to his clothing. So the Gemara therefore says that Kavod Shabbos is manifested in wearing Big Day Shabbos. It's the Gemara a little later on elaborates. Amar Rav Huna, im yesh lo lahachlif yachlif. If you have another set of clothing for Shabbos, then you have an obligation to switch into Shabbos clothes. V'im ein lo lahachlif yishal shel begadav. Now, if you don't have a change of clothing for Shabbos, so you should wear your clothes a little longer than you usually do. That's a very peculiar statement. A little longer. You should wear them a little lower than usual. So I'm not sure what kind of tunics they're wearing.
Like with the ghetto.
Like, yeah, I guess like your belt would.
Right.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you do that for a different reason. Belts. They don't want them to hang themselves.
Yeah, so this is a peculiar statement.
Exactly.
Is that really why?
Well, you don't know that's home sorrow. That's why they shuffle and their pants are low because they don't have any laces. So they can't lift their feet. They have no belts.
So they don't hang you?
No, they don't
want
you to hang yourself or someone else in the prison.
Not bad.
I learned enough tonight.
Good to know. We'll save up on the rest of the time. So the Gemara says if you have no change of clothing, so you should wear your clothes a little lower. So why? What's the rationale for that? So Rashi explains, im yesh lo lahachlif yachlif. Okay. So second line in Rashi, yishal shel begadav klapei mata. Wear your clothes a little lower. Sheyiru aruchim. So your clothes should look longer than they usually are. V'hu midas ashirim hayoshim b'veisam. That is the way, that's the conduct of wealthier people, because they're sitting at home in their houses not doing any work. V'einam tzrichim l'salik b'gdei amina ares b'shil melacha. They don't have to hold their clothes off the ground when they're doing labor. So on Shabbos, you wear your clothes lower to show that you're like an ashir, you're like a more privileged person, you don't have to work. V'kavod Shabbos hu. This is a very interesting point, because if you take this Rashi to its extreme, so you might say that this is not only in the exceptional case where you have no change of a beged, but this is the actual principle for wearing separate clothes on Shabbos. Meaning, if I pulled you off the street and I asked you, why are you wearing different clothes on Shabbos? Right, so Yanni, what would you say? Why do you wear your Shabbos clothes?
Respect.
Yeah, it's more respectful, right? You're wearing nicer clothes. If you have a nice guest, so you'll dress up. You're going on an interview, you dress up. But one might say, based on this Rashi, that the whole reason for wearing different clothes on Shabbos is just to show that you're not doing malacha. Right? Meaning, you could say the Rashi is talking about this exceptional case. Or you might say this is the actual principle. So the Orchos Chaim is a Provençal Rishon of the 13th century, one of the earlier codifiers of halacha. So he actually writes, the reason why we wear Big Day Shabbos is Kidei Sheyizkor Shehu Yom Kadosh, just so you remember that it's a holy day. But it's nothing about the intrinsic kavod in wearing different clothing. It's a very interesting perspective. It's not the apparent reason that I would have suggested. If you look at the Sefer Mitzvot Zmanios, the next source on the page, so he has a totally different perspective. He's in line with Yanni, that really it's like if you're inviting a prestigious person to your house, so you dress up nicely for him. So Shabbos, we view it as you're dressing up for respect of the day. So you have two different perspectives on the nature of a Big Day Shabbos, which itself is a subcategory of Kavod Shabbos. The Chai Adam, a more recent post-take of like 150 years ago, so the Chai Adam writes, second to last source on page one, even Bechadri Chadarim, even if you're by yourself in your home, so you have an obligation to wear Big Day Shabbos, She'enam L'chvod HaRoim, Al L'chvod Shabbos. Wearing nice clothes on Shabbos has nothing to do with interacting with other people in your community. It has to do with the objective status of the day. Now, I'm not sure if he's necessarily taking a stance on these two perspectives, because I might say that for yourself, you want to reflect that it's a day of no labor. Right? So even if it's just about reminding yourself that Shabbos is not a day of malacha, it might exist in private, in private concealment. but especially if it's about honoring the day of Shabbos, has nothing to do with being involved with other people. On the bottom of page one, you have another very interesting extension. The Gemara proves that there has to be a din of Kavod Shabbos through Big Day Shabbos, through wearing clothes. Why? Because the Torah uses the phrase of V'chibadito, you should honor it, with respect to Yom HaKippurim. So on Yom Kippur, how are you going to honor the day? The Gemara says it can't be achila. There's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no seuda. So the only thing that's left to pick out as an honor for the day is Big Day Yom Tov, Big also, Day Shabbos.
Is
excellent.
His clothing changed.
On Yom Kippur even. Okay, so he doesn't cite that the Yom Kippur's begadim change, but there are Rishonim, I didn't quote them here, who use the imagery and the terms of Big Day Kahuna for Shabbos. So they think it's like a similar notion. The notion
Big
that
Big Day Kahuna on Yom Kippur that he's changing into were actually the Mayans.
Lower.
Less regal.
They were inferior.
Than is regular.
Right. Well, you might say it's more, there's like some regalness in simplicity.
Okay.
You know.
But it's different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It may depend on your European origin. Yeah. You know, how Hungarian your roots are. What's to say?
That's very diplomatic to say European.
What?
Very diplomatic to say.
I'm behind the table and you're very good. So the Gemara proves it from Yom Kippur that there's an element of respect through the clothes, because Yom Kippur she'ein bo achil lo achil lo ashtia, the kavod could only be through wearing nice clean clothing. Finally, with respect to Big Day Shabbos, it's very interesting. On top of page two, the Mishnah Berurah writes something. On the surface, it's enigmatic, but upon reflection, it makes a lot of sense. Top of page two, yilbash v'yelech behem ad motzei Shabbos achar havdala. You should wear your Big Day Shabbos until right after havdala on Shabbos. So it's a bit of a peculiar statement. What's he trying? Okay, so the question is he telling you that you should keep them on until after Havdalah? That aspect of Shabbos, of Big Day Shabbos, extends until Havdalah? Or is he saying, making the opposite point, that make sure you take them off after Havdalah? Ad Motzai Shabbos, Achar Havdalah. I mean, to pose the question a little differently, like, let's say you're having a Mlava Malka, right, escorting Shabbos out. So does that require Big Day Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah here is pointing out that you should take your Big Day Shabbos off right after Havdalah, because otherwise, these clothes lose their special status as Shabbos clothes if you wear them into the week. What? The clothes. Well, you'll see some poskim. I didn't want to scare everybody. But if you like read the contemporary poskim who are literalists in certain things, so they write that you should like change your clothes as soon as after Shabbos as possible, because like Big Day Shabbos shouldn't be worn during the week.
Is this implying?
People say you shouldn't wear your Shabbos suit to a wedding even.
What?
People think that you shouldn't wear your Shabbos suit to a wedding.
First, you have to explain
right.
that many people have a Shabbos
right.
outfit.
What?
First, you need to explain that people in the old days supposedly had a Shabbos outfit.
Right.
Specifically.
Right.
That's why you should put it away.
Why?
You would wear the same thing all the time, pretty much.
Right, but the assumption here is that it's just a fancier set of clothing.
Right. But it's set aside for Shabbos.
Okay. I'm saying, I think these poskim would argue that that should hold true today also.
And every other week I switch a suit.
I mean, they had like one Shabbos suit,
right.
Everything else. Perhaps. These poskim definitely don't see it that way. Good, so that's the question of a big begadim of Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, Din in the Gemara, and you have two different explanations in the Rishonim. Okay, is it just to show that it's not a day of work? You're not wearing your work clothes? So let's say if you're a doctor, you shouldn't wear your scrubs on Shabbos. Or is the point to show, or your overalls, depending on your profession?
Yeah, you also see sometimes, not here, but in other communities, people, let's say, have high power, like Wall Street type of jobs, that they dress in very nice suits. This is the men, maybe women too. They dress in very nice suits. And at Shabbos, they wear like a blazer.
Casual Saturday.
It's a different beggar than their work week,
yeah,
but it's probably special. Lighter.
Than their work clothes.
Yeah.
Right. So you could say
yeah.
They're being machmir for the Orchos Chaim.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to wear their work clothes on Shabbos. It's great. It's great limud tzchus. Another dimension of Kavod Shabbos is this notion of arranging your house specially for Shabbos. Okay. Not just doesn't manifest itself just in honoring Shabbos through your clothes, but in arranging your house a certain way. We'll see. Actually, this is there's a bit of ambiguity here. is there really a din of Kavod Shabbos on Shabbos? 90% of the laws of Kavod Shabbos are pre and post Shabbos. Okay, so the one exception might have been clothes. But even clothes, the way like the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, is at the din that you should get dressed before Shabbos, for Shabbos. So it's not clear whether Kavod Shabbos itself actually has an application on Shabbos, although Begadim, clothes, seems to be the exception. So let's give this example of Seder Beis, arranging your house for Shabbos. So the Gemara tells a story, top of page 2. Gemara and Kufi Tesim and Bezen Shabbos. Amar Rav Chista Amar Ukva, Kol Am Espalel. Here we have. Here, I'll give you that one. No problem. I was late as well. So the Gemara, Amar Rav Chista Amar Ukva, Kol Am Espalel Be'erev. Ooh. Okay. Kol Am Espalel Be'erev Shabbos Omer Vayichulu. Anybody who says Vayichulu on Erev Shabbos. Shnei Malachi Hasharis Malavin Lola Adam. Menichin Yadav Yidein Al Rosho V'Omrim. Two angels accompany a person on Erev Shabbos, and a person says Vayechula Shemayim Va'aretz. So they put their hands on his head, and they say your sins should be forgiven. Then Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda tells a similar story. Shnei Malachi Asharis Milavin Lola Adam Be'Erev Shabbos Mibeis Haknesses LeBeiso. Two angels accompany a person from the shul to his house. Echad Tov Echad Ra. One of them is good. One of them is evil. When they come to the person's house and they see there's a candle set and the table is set and everything is arranged nicely, so the good angel says, may it be his will that next Shabbos should be as nice as this Shabbos. And the bad angel has to acknowledge by force. But if everything is not arranged appropriately, so then the inverse happens. The Malach Ra says this is the way it should be next week, and the Malach Tov is forced to say Amen afterwards. So, now I can't testify to the two Malachim accompanying you home after Shul, but the point that the Gemara is definitely getting across is that there's this notion of arranging your table nicely, arranging your beds nicely, and having a candle lit on Shabbos itself. Okay, so it seems like that's like a similar din to the clothing, just an extension into the home. The Gemara in Kiddushin, on Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, invokes another principle of Kavod Shabbos, which is that you yourself should be involved in the preparations for the day. Meaning, one might go so far as to argue that when it comes to Kavod Shabbos, it's not the result which is significant. It's not the result that your house is cleaned or that your house is shiny, but that you're engaged in preparing for Shabbos. Okay? So if anybody, you know, is really not sure whether they want to cook or they want to go to Meal Mart, or wherever, from Queens. I don't know if anybody goes to Meal Mart anymore. But no? Sorry. So then, the Gemara here seems to be saying that the din of Kavod Shabbos is that you yourself are involved in its preparations. So the Gemara in Kiddushin extends this.
Go to the store and pick up the food, and to me it's the same as being involved in the preparation.
So I'll tell you what, you cook for Shabbos for a couple of weeks, and then that next Shabbos you'll go buy from the store and you'll tell me if it's the same.
Believe me, the store would be a lot better than what I would cook.
You're probably right.
But then there's a lot of men that come home, you know, 10 minutes before Shabbos, and presumably the wives have been preparing, and the husband's been working and rushes in, so
he's not involved in Kavod Shabbos.
Not really involved in.
Yeah, so that's what the Gemara in Kiddushin says. Right, so we'll get to that at the end. Exactly. I don't know if that solves the men issue.
Yeah.
They're helping all week.
Every night during the week
they're preparing for Shabbos.
So they don't have to.
They're placing their orders for their work.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody wrote an editorial in the New York Times, I think 2 days ago. It's just that homes are getting dirtier. And the reason was because women's salaries as primary breadwinners in families, or the percentage of women who are primary breadwinners has gone up like 40%. But the percentage, the hours that men chip in those same homes to household chores hasn't gone up whatsoever. So the guy was, all right, basically homes are going to get dirtier. That's what's going to happen with the progression of society. So he's saying, as progressive as we are in terms of working, we're no more progressive in household chores. So the Gemara Kedushin actually takes this principle. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah bo yoser mibashlucho. It's always better to be involved in a mitzvah yourself rather than to have somebody else do it for you. Ki hadi Rav Safra machrich resha, Rav Malach shibuta. Rav Safra used to cut the fish for Shabbos. Sorry, Rav Safra machrich, he would cut the meat for Shabbos. Rava malach shibuta. Rava, another Amora, he would personally salt a fish for Shabbos. As the Gemara is trying to show that these Amorayim personally, they got involved in the actual preparations for Shabbos. They wouldn't outsource it to anybody else. Now this actually raises a bit of a question, because the Gemara uses this case of preparing for Shabbos to prove a case of getting married, that it's better that you do the Maisa Kiddushin yourself, you give the ring to your spouse under the chuppah, rather than have somebody else go do the Kiddushin for you. So the question that everyone's bothered by is that case of giving the ring, is that per se a mitzvah of getting married? Or is it just a preparatory mitzvah for having children? That's the machlokas in the Rishonim. Children. Okay. I mean, is there a mitzvah in Kiddushin and getting married, or is the mitzvah only in procreation? And Kiddushin is like a machshir. It's something that's necessary to get there. So the problem is the Gemara is bringing a proof from Kavod Shabbos to the case of getting married. So they point out that if you hold that Kavod Shabbos is a mitzvah per se, in and of itself, so then you would say that the mitzvah of Kiddushin is itself a mitzvah. If you hold that the Kavod Shabbos, or that, let's say, you hold that Kiddushin is just a Hechsher mitzvah, a way of preparing for the real mitzvah, it's a facilitating mitzvah, then you might say that Kavod Shabbos itself is only a way of experiencing Shabbos the right way. But it's not per se a mitzvah in and of itself of Kavod Shabbos.
Just when you are looking and examining whether it's a mitzvah or not, are you going whether it's, at least according to somebody, either with, you know, the Sefer HaChinuch or one of the others, as to whether they count it as a mitzvah or not? Whether it's an enumerated mitzvah as compared to, hey, it's
not just as an enumerated mitzvah, but for example, do you make a birchas hamitzvah on it? Would you make a, normally for every mitzvah you make a bracha beforehand. So if you notice that kiddushin, it's a big machlokas whether you make the bracha before the kiddushin or after. So the Rush in Ksuvis explains that depends on this question, whether you think that kiddushin is itself a mitzvah. The Torah never spells out a mitzvah of kiddushin. The Torah says ki yikach ish isha, when you go get married. The Torah never says go get married.
Okay, but since you mentioned, so like for example, when I make a borah pre eitz, am I getting a mitzvah?
No, so there's no mitzvah of eating. There's a requirement, that's a birchas hananin. There's a requirement to make a bracha in order to allow you to eat. That's not a mitzvah.
And kiddushin is an indirect thing also, indirect.
Well, kiddushin as a machshir allows you to
right.
have...
Right, it allows you to, right, it allows you to be married.
Okay.
Or allows you to have children. But it may not per se be a mitzvah. It's a machlokas. The Rambam thinks it is a mitzvah. The Rambam counts it. The Rush doesn't count it. Or the Rush thinks it's not. You don't even make a bracha on the kiddushin itself. Okay. Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay. So you see that there's some element of personal involvement in Kavod Shabbos. Another aspect of Kavod Shabbos is our minhag to come to shul early on Friday night. You don't just go from mincha straight into Mariv. You have this thing in the middle of Kabbalah Shabbos. So where does Kabbalah Shabbos come from? Right, what do we do? We say Tehillim, essentially. And we sing Licha Dodi. I was once in Tzfat, and if you go to the kever of the person who composed Licha Dodi, so you'll see this bizarre thing. During the week, people are singing Licha Dodi at his kever. But this is, I mean, Licha Dodi became very prominent. And there are some yeshivas, I'm told that if you go to Brisk in Eretz Yisrael, so they don't say Kabbalah Shabbos. Because they think it's not, it's a innovation of like 17th century Tzfat. But where does it come from? Does it have sources in halacha? Truth is, I think it is very well sourced. And I have a suspicion, I have a friend who last year was telling me how he doesn't say Kabbalah Shabbos because it has no source in...
He doesn't say any of the Tehillim or he doesn't say L'chadod?
He doesn't say any of the Tehillim, nothing. Right, he'll daven mincha, he'll do Shnayim Mikra, he'll do like Shnayim Mikra or something in shul.
No Mizmor Shir.
No Mizmor
Shir. Just
Baruch. Right. And then go into Baruch. Because it's not sourced in anything. But then I'm suspicious because this year he was learning Shabbos. And I saw him last week and he was saying Kabbalah Shabbos with a lot of Kavanah. So I assume that he came across something that triggered something about Kabbalah Shabbos. So the Gemara here on bottom of page 2. So the Gemara says, Rab Chanina Me'atef. It's Gemara on Kuf Yud Tes in Shabbos, second to last source on page 2. Rab Chanina me'atef v'koi apanya demali Shabbos. Rab Chanina would wrap himself, presumably in a nice garment, and he would stand right before Shabbos entered, meaning on Friday night before it got dark. Amar, he would say, bo'u v'netze likra Shabbos hamalka. Let's go out and greet the queen of Shabbos. Rav Yanai, another Amora, Lavish mane, put on his clothes, mali shabsa, erev shabbos, the amar boikala, boikala.
This is before the Haredim's composed.
Right, so l'chadodi is borrowing, clearly, these terms of the Gemara. Right. He's clearly working off this Gemara, because this one line of the Gemara, a story about these two Amorayim, how they would go out. Notice how he says, bo v'netze, let's go out. You'll see, some poskim think that you have to go out into the field for Kabbalah Shabbos. We kind of do it by turning around, like to symbolize greeting. But the Magen Avram, who's one of the most prominent poskim on Shulchan Aruch, he thought that really you should walk outside of shul as like a gesture.
What's the reason, since you mentioned, what's the reason for turning around?
So it's a kind of greeting. You assume you're greeting Shabbos who's coming.
You don't necessarily face the door, though.
That's a big shaila. That's what the Svardi poskim are very into this question. The Kaf HaChaim and somebody else. The Svardi poskim are, like, let's say, usually the Aron is going to be in the Mizrach. So usually the doors to the shul are behind it, right? So usually you're always turning to Marav. Now here, Marav is always where the sun sets, because the sun sets in the west. So the question is, are you turning to the doors of the shul, presumably to like welcome some guest who's walking in, or are you turning to the sun setting, because the sunset is what heralds in Shabbos. So the Shiloh, so if the west is not and behind the Aron, it's not by the doors of the shul, which way do you turn? It's a question in YU, because in YU, the Mizrach, everything
is... KJ a few weeks ago. Well, a couple of months ago, actually. Okay,
this isn't the most important questions.
The shul burned down. Well, if you were on top, I'll tell the story. The shul burned down, so they're davening now in the gymnasium, or the multi-purpose room, call it in the Gottesman Center, which is across the street. The Gottesman Center has no doors in the back. It's just a wall. There is a wall, a door when you walk in. Rabbi looks and gave a whole speech. He said, there was a Rabbi Soloveitchik holds one way, Rabbi Feinstein holds the other way. We're going to follow Rabbi Soloveitchik. We're not going to turn around. We're going to face the door in the front.
Oh, very interesting. There you go.
There you go.
This question comes up. Very nice. Very good. If you look on the bottom, so this is the source of L'chadodi. It's a very nice, it's a symbolic notion of coming to greet Shabbos. If you look at Davudram is a Sephardi Rishon, think of the 14th century. So he also wrote a Sefer which talks a lot about our halacha and minhagim. A lot of things come from Davudram. What?
I'm laughing. Shabbos is coming. Is it going to come through the wall or is it going to come through the door? What's the difference?
Right.
I mean, laughing to myself. But,
right. That's what I'm saying. It's not the most critical of questions, yeah. But the symbolism is there. So Davudram writes, Noagu lomar b'motzai Shabbos, kodem hatfila, shiro shebet tehillim. Motzai Shabbos, after Shabbos. So we have a custom to sing songs from Tehillim. V'amar hatam b'midrash, the source comes from a medrash, mashal lekala umalka shemalvin osa b'shiros v'sishbachos. If a bride or a queen comes in to visit, so you'd escort them out with nice songs and praises. The Shabbos malka v'kala, Shabbos is both a queen and a bride. And then he quotes our Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. So it's very interesting. So the Avudram actually only says this with respect to Motzai Shabbos. Like if you're having a Mlava Malka, so you want to escort Shabbos out. He doesn't say anything about escorting Shabbos in. Our expansion of Kabbalah Shabbos is to assume that there's no difference in welcoming Shabbos and escorting Shabbos. So if the Avudram wants to apply this notion of an escort to Motzai Shabbos, so you should also have an escort to welcoming Shabbos in. On top of page 3, you have this Magen Avraham, this notion that really you should walk outside into the Sadeh. If you look in sometimes you'll see there's a rogue person in shul who will walk during Kabbalah Shabbos. I don't know if you have. If you have, you have to catch the random guests sometimes. So you'll have somebody who will walk down the aisle in shul, like to the doors, and then walk back. So sometimes that's a chumrah based on this Magen Avraham, who says that Tov Latzeis, top of page 3, the first source, Tov Latzeis L'Sadeh, it's nice to go out to the field. And some shuls, they have the custom to walk into the courtyard. Okay. And you'll see the Mishnah Berurah, the next source, quotes a lot of these ideas. Now, the fascinating thing about Kavod Shabbos is that these laws of Kavod Shabbos, which seem to be niceties, so they actually spill over into the laws of Nezikin. They spill over into the laws of damages. Okay. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma, which is all about, you know, somebody's ox gores somebody else's. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah here says, you have two people who are walking in a public property, one's running and one's walking. All right, so who's going to be liable? So the Mishnah actually says they're both exempt, because they're both in public domain. And you can't you can't make somebody responsible for damaging somebody else when they're both moving. Like the analogy would be somebody's driving 60 and somebody's driving 20 and they collide, so you're not going to say that the person who's driving 60 is responsible. Point is, they're both driving on the road. That's the Rav Isi ben Yehuda. The Gemara says he disagrees with this principle. So let's assume the speed limit is 65. All right? I'm saying you're not going to say it just because someone's going faster, he's more responsible. Isi ben Yehuda, quoted in the Gemara, he disagrees with this Mishnah, and he holds Ratz Chayiv, the person who's running is obligated. He's the one who's responsible for the damages. Mifnei Shehu Mishuna, because he's the deviation from the norm. Okay, so I'm not sure if that necessarily, maybe this means that the speed limit here is 30 and this guy's driving 60, or it just means that the person who's driving faster is going to be more responsible because he has less control. He's more out of his element. So, but the Gemara says that Isi ben Yehuda will agree to one case. So Isi ben Yehuda usually holds the person who's running is liable. But on Erev Shabbos, So if let's say one person's walking to shul, and the other guy's coming from work, okay, speeding home, and they collide, so Isi ben Yehuda agrees that the person who's speeding home is exempt. Why? He's exempt. Why? Because everyone is speeding on Erev Shabbos. Mibnei she'ratz birshus, because his running is sanctioned. So the Gemara says, Erev Shabbos, my birshus. Why is Erev Shabbos running sanctioned? K'Rebbe Chanina, Damar Rebbe Chanina, bo v'netze, likra Shabbos malchasa. Like Rebbe Chanina said, let's go out and catch Shabbos. And basically a quotation of that Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yates, which I quoted you before.
Because he's Osek B'mitzvah, or because
so it's not clear.
Because I think we also learned that if a person is a special shmir for someone who's going to do a mitzvah also.
Right, that is Shav Hulchei Mitzvah in a Nizakin.
Right.
So here it seems to be a different principle. It's not clear what it is. The Gemara says, oh, because there's this concept of, you know, let's go welcome Shabbos, so he's exempt for running. The Gemara doesn't elaborate. So this seems to be a bit of a dispute, how to understand this Gemara. The Rambam in Chovah L'Mazik, which is all about the laws of damages. So the Rambam quotes this case, and the Rambam says, Shnayim Shehoyim Mahalchim Birshus Arabim, Echad Ratz V'Echad Mahalich, again, our case, one of them gets damaged. So the person who's running is Chayiv, because he's the deviation. But if it's Erev Shabbos, he's Pater, because his running is sanctioned. Kidei Shelo Tikanes HaShabbos V'Hu Eino Panoi. Because we don't want Shabbos to come and he's not having time to welcome it. So the Rambam seems to be saying that because there's this mitzvah of Kabbalah Shabbos, because there's this notion of having to get to shul early to accept Shabbos in, so therefore you're going to have to rush home earlier in order to make it to shul earlier. So that rushing home early is sanctioned by halacha. And it's normal for everyone to run to get to shul early on Erev Shabbos. Okay? So the Rambam basically seems to be saying that because you have to get to shul for Kabbalah Shabbos, so your rush is halachically okay, and you're exempt for those damages. Okay?
That's just a basic principle of Nezikin, that if there's a known...
like you find by Neros Chanukah, right?
Yeah, so it's the same thing.
That's what it seems to be.
So that's not such a weak.
Right, so the point is, the reason why you're liable in general for speeding is because you're the deviation,
right.
But here it's the norm.
Yeah, it's the norm.
Because everyone's supposed to... So it seems to be a special law in Hilchos Nezikin,
right,
which is redefined based off the context of Kabbalah Shabbos. Right, which you find by Neros Chanukah also. That if somebody, normally you're not allowed to light a fire in public property, but if it's Chanukah, so then it's okay. Even if it eventually causes some sort of damage. Again, there are some limits, but... That's the Sma suggests something different. A little surprising, actually. The Tosos Yom Tov on the bottom of page 3 suggests something different. He argues that it's not just about Kabbalah Shabbos. It's any rushing home that you do on Erev Shabbos is in order... is caused by Shabbos, right? Because the reason why you're rushing is
what? You wouldn't be rushing
unless it was Shabbos. Right. So even let's say you have a deadline and you have to get something done right before in order to get home for Shabbos. So that's part of this exemption of Friday activity, and you'd be exempt. So even if it's not because you're involved in a Shabbos matter per se, but any rushing on Shabbos is, I guess, elliptically or circuitously due to Shabbos. So that's part of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, and now you're exempt from that nezek.
You know, I think you could make a different argument. Let's say I live here in Englewood, and I work downtown Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I know I better leave by 2 o'clock, and if I want to get home with no issues.
Right.
I said, you know what? I don't really care. I'm going to leave at 3:15 because I'm just going to speed home. I mean, you could make the. I honestly thought they were going to make the argument that the guy would be chayav because he should have given himself enough time that he wouldn't have to rush on Erev Shabbos to get these things done.
Right. That's not the argument they're making, though. I hear you'd want to say like everyone should leave earlier on Shabbos, so you get home with plenty of time, right? But here it just seems to be more like due to the
extenuating circumstances. Going in, you know, there's one thing, but to say I'm going to leave 3:15 every week when it's Shabbos is 4:15.
Right, I agree.
How come none of this applies to Yom?
That's a very interesting question. Why don't we have Kabbalah Shabbos on Yom Tov? Kabbalah is Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the simple answer, I think they say that the Rav also suggested a similar idea with respect to the Gemara about the Malachim, that you don't have any parallel Gemara about Yom Tov, that they're coming to your home. So the Rav has this idea that Yom Tov is all about going out to the Beis HaMikdash, Chiyav Ola Regel, Smachtim Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivat Yamim. Simcha is to go out. Simcha is Lifnei Hashem. On Shabbos, you're welcoming Shabbos into your home, you're welcoming Shechina into your midst. Because the emphasis is always is the opposite. So you might say the concept of welcoming Yom Tov doesn't exist, because the whole purpose is that you're Ola Regel to the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to it.
So the sentence following up with that, we're welcoming the Shechina or whatever it is into our home. What is the Kala reference?
Why a bride?
Yes.
So the Mikubalim are...
Because when we're at Sinai, there's the Chuppah.
Weren't you married once? Weren't you excited?
Why did they say we're welcome to the Shechina as opposed to
right.
A bride? New Jersey now, a bride could be any different.
Doesn't mean there's any less anxiety and anxiousness.
So
there's no hope of keeping this politically correct for today. No. So I think that actually is an excellent point. There is this question, actually, what it means Shabbos Malka. Rambam interprets it as Shabbos HaMelech, actually. So Mavida Malka in Aramaic is really just Zachar. But then you still have Shabbos HaMelech, you also have reference to Kala. So Kala is definitely a bride. The question is, are those Amoraim differing in their conception of Shabbos? If you look back at that Gemara, one of them said Shabbos HaMelech or Malka, so either it might be king or queen, question. But then the other day it says it's like a bride. So are they arguing about different conceptions of what you should be... So the Rambam actually writes that you should be welcoming Shabbos with trembling, like becharada, I think he says. You should be trembling when you sit there welcoming Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says you should be besimcha when you welcome in Shabbos. So it could be that they're picking up on different themes here. I'm saying it's like a melech. You're welcoming a king. You're not dancing in the streets. It's fear. And the Shulchan Aruch is saying, no, it's like celebrating. Everyone's excited. So it could be that the Nafkamina is like Karlbach Kabbalah Shabbos. So we'll find out this Shabbos what's gonna happen.
Isn't on a wedding day, isn't the bride compared to a queen and the groom to a
king? Yeah, to a king. So it could be that they reduce to the same point.
Anyway.
Right, but the question is whether that dimension of fear carries over even to Chasan Doma Lamelech and Kala Doma Lamalka. I mean, it could be that they're compared to a king with respect to certain aspects, but the notion of fear, trembling, doesn't exist even when you draw the analogy to Chasan and Kala. It's like people stand up for a Chasan and a Kala based off this notion, but I'm not sure if there's a din of Yira. In Melech, there are different laws. There are laws of Kavod and laws of Yira. So I'm just not sure if all of them carry over. That would be an interesting discussion. Okay. So that's a little bit on Kabbalah Shabbos, which is another subcomponent of honoring Shabbos, welcoming it in, and welcome escorting it out afterwards. So now we move to another dimension of Shabbos, which seems to be less related to the day itself. This is about preparation for Shabbos during the week. So Gemara in Beitza on Tezayin Amud Aleph quotes a story between Shammai HaZaken and Hillel. Okay, the founders of their respective schools. So Gemara Beit says, Tanya, Amru Olav al Shammai HaZaken. The story is told about the elder Shammai. Kol Yomav HaYaochel Kavod Shabbos. All his life, he would make sure to eat for Kavod of Shabbos, to honor Shabbos. What does that mean? Matzah Behema Noye. He would walk in the marketplace. This is, you know, clearly he was going shopping for Shabbos. So he'd find a nice animal, and he would say, Zula Shabbos. He'd buy it and set it aside for Shabbos. Then on Monday, he would walk out again. Matzah Acheres Noah HaMena. He found a nicer animal. So meniach es hashniya v'ochel es harishona. So now he would eat the first animal that he bought, and he would set aside the second animal, which was nicer for Shabbos. Then on Tuesday, the same story would happen. He'd find an even nicer animal, so he'd buy that l'chavod Shabbos, and he'd eat the one that he previously designated for Shabbos. So what emerges is that basically he was always shopping l'chavod Shabbos. Turns out he found a nicer one, so he ate that for his Sunday meal. Aval Hillel hazakin mida acheres haisalo. Hillel had a different, either a different constitution or a different practice. Shekol ma'isav l'shem shamayim. Everything he would do was always l'shem shamayim. Shenemar baruch Hashem yom yom. This is a very interesting story. Hillel would content himself with saying everything I do is l'shem shamayim. Shammai would say everything has to be l'chavod Shabbos. That's a very strange story. Because if you asked me, I would say doing everything l'shem shamayim is more of a religious virtue than trying to smuggle everything in through Shabbos. If you want to give it meaning, right?
I would think it would include Shabbos, the same Shemayim, right?
Right. Or even, you know, even better, say, like, I'm eating now because I have to do something that's significant. I have, let's say, you know, I have to go to work and support a family, or I have to go and learn Torah, or I have to do Gemilas Chasadim. So every action that you're doing is supposedly, or ideally, religiously justified, geared towards some religious purpose. So that's Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shemayim. So yet, Shammai feels the need to, you know, to have this subterfuge of buying everything l'shem Shabbos, and now everything has religious value. It's just a strange story, no?
Are they making the point that everything that Shammai did was
all his food shopping.
Shabbos.
Right, but why not go to ShopRite? Because you're eating during the week. It's not, presumably has religious value. So Rashi actually interprets the Gemara. So then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara is the last line of the Gemara on top of page 4. Tanya namahachi, Beshamei omrim mechad shabbos, I guess, lishvatecha, Beshil omrim baruch Hashem yom yom. So it's not clear what that means, but we'll explain in a second. So Rashi actually explains the story that it doesn't mean that Beshil would do everything l'shem shamayim, meaning that everything would have just intrinsic religious value. What the story means is that Hillel had some sort of faith that he would get the right thing for Shabbos. He's like, I don't need to shop Sunday for Shabbos because you know what? On Friday, something will turn up. Where Shammai was saying, I can't take that leap of faith. So everything I'm going to do now is going to be geared toward Shabbos. So what it doesn't mean kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim is a code phrase. But it's not. It's not. I mean, he's reinterpreting it, which is why it's problematic. It's a code phrase for saying that I trust that things will be okay. That's the way Rashi explains it. Clearly, because he's bothered by the peculiarity of the result. Then he'd end up saying that for some reason Shammai held L'Shem Shabbos is greater than L'Shem Shammai. Right. More surprisingly, is that in this case we seem to paskin like Beis Shammai. So the Shulchan Aruch and Rashi in his commentary on Torah, so they quote that you should adopt the practice of Shammai, that everything you do is l'shem Shabbos, or all your food buying is l'shem Shabbos. Generally, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Right, so why over here do both Rashi and the Shulchan Aruch adopt the position of Beis Shammai? That seems to bother a lot of people. That's the Ramban. Ramban poses that question to Rashi on the Torah. And the Bach poses that question to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So what do you think?
You know, so there's certain things that we, like, you have to sell clothing for 4 cups of wine and for other things, where, you know, there's certain mitzvahs that you can't, you know, they take priority. And maybe Shabbos is one of those categories, according to Beis Shammai, that, you know, you have to put a lot of things aside in order to make sure you have a kosher and a
you have to make sure it's gonna be done. That's interesting. I mean, when it comes to Shabbos, you can't take that. You know, you can't hedge your bets. Possibly, it's a nice suggestion. What else could we suggest here for Beis Shammai? So the Chassam Sofer has a very interesting approach. The Chassam Sofer suggests that ideally, this is the Chassam Sofer in the middle of page 4.
I'm sorry, would it be because Hillel's not doing any
Right, but it would seem, but it's hard to say that preparation for Shabbos is of greater value than doing things for just general religious purpose. Unless you want to say that because you have, like, you could pinpoint it, it's more concrete than just saying, I'm doing this for my religious well-being.
There's a specific thing that you have to, for Kavod Shabbos, you have to do Hachana, so Hillel's not doing any Hachana.
Really, right, so, but, right, I would just say that's still surprising, that Hachana l'Shabbos overrides, you know, any other religious value. That's just why it's surprising. So the Chasam Sofer has a clever interpretation.
With his reason.
What?
Maybe they're really saying the same thing, just in a different way. Because perhaps you could say that if you believe in Shabbos, you really believe that God created the world. Right? And therefore, it's really the same thing. It's the same Shemayim. Because otherwise, why would you do Shabbos? You do it because God rested on that day. And that's where emulating that...
That's a very nice idea. I think that's a kind of an explication to what you were suggesting. That Kavod Shabbos, actually in the hierarchy of religious values, is pretty high up because of what Shabbos represents. Right? The Ramban said that Shabbos represents the three foundational pillars of religious faith. Right? Creation of the world, Hashem's involvement in the world, and prophecy. So maybe constantly being involved in preparations for Shabbos is like a highest expression of religious virtue. That's a very clever idea. I like it. I like it a lot. I think the Chasam Sofer actually takes it kind of in the opposite direction. Okay? But I actually like your idea. So the Chasam Sofer here says...
Tell your grandfather.
I'll tell him. I'll send it over. Beshamei Omrim. Mechad v'Shabbos. Lomar sheyizkor kol yomov le'olam haba yom shekulo Shabbos. Meaning, what Beshamai here means is not the day of Shabbos per se, but what Shabbos represents in terms of Shabbos being a day of Me'in Olam Haba. So in your religious outlook, Beshamai holds that you should be thinking more about, let's say, this concept of Olam Haba than Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shemayim in your present religious life. Beis Hillel disagrees, and Beis Hillel holds, Yafeh Shah Achas L'Tzadikim B'Tshuva U'Maisim Tovim B'Olam Hazeh Mikol Chayi Olam Haba. There's a bit of a drush, but these aren't his chidushim to Maseches Beitza. I mean, he thinks it's this fundamental argument. Like, should you be thinking about the theological significance of something, which is like Shabbos standing for Me'Olam Haba, or should you be thinking about the imperative of doing mitzvos in this world? So Shammai takes the former approach, and Hillel takes the latter approach. Think about Torah mitzvos. Shammai says, think about the theological expression, a day of Me'in Olam Haba. That's the Chasam Sofer's first suggestion. The Chasam Sofer's second suggestion is that fundamentally, Beis Shammai agrees to Beis Hillel, that it's a higher religious virtue to turn all your actions into something L'Shem Shemayim. But there are very few people who could actually pinpoint or could say that every time they're eating or they're shopping or they're doing something that's for physical sustenance, that they could say this is really for some religious purpose. Most people can't gear their actions towards religious life. So Shammai said, you know what? For the masses, for most people, tell them to do a L'Kavod Shabbos. It's like an easier solution. But ideally, it's better that Kol Ma'asech L'Shem Shemayim. Just most people can't achieve that ideal. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Rashi Al-Torah quotes the Shita Beis Shammai. You know what? Make everything for Shabbos. That's good enough. Even though ideally, Beis Hillel's expression is more ambitious. That's the Chasam Sofer's suggestion to the Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Although, Billy, I like your suggestion a lot. Finally, you have this perspective of the Ramban, where the Ramban is the strongest advocate of Shabbos's spilling over into the days of the week. The Torah says, Zachar Asyom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, remember the day of Shabbos. What does that mean? It could mean Kiddush, but the Ramban suggests that it also means, bottom of page 4, that you should remember Shabbos constantly, not just on Shabbos itself. So the bold lines on the bottom of page 4. V'zichron tamid, remember it constantly. L'hodiyah shehu bara hakol, to express that Hashem created everything. V'hi mitzvahs hashabbos Shehi zeicha l'maisa b'reishis. The mitzvah of Shabbos is not just to observe Shabbos on the seventh day, but the mitzvah of Shabbos is to remember Shabbos and think about it all during all the days of the week. So I might actually be close to what you were suggesting, because Shabbos embodies this principle. And then the Ramban expands this idea and says that al derech ha-pshat, top of page 5, is that the derech ha-pshat, is that just to make sure that Shabbos is unique, zachar shema Shabbos lekacho, make sure you know that Shabbos is a special day, okay? Shehi mitzvah shenizkor tamid b'chol yom es ha-Shabbos, shelo nishkacheyu v'lo yischa lefanu b'shar ha-yamim, okay, it shouldn't be confused any other day. Ki b'zichreinu also tamid, when we remember it constantly, yizkor ma'asa bereishis, you'll remember the creation of the world, v'node b'chol eish shiyesh la'olam borei, you'll remember there's a creator of the world, v'hu tziva osanu ba'os hazen, Hashem commanded us with this covenant, shenamar ki os hi beinu beinechem, it's a covenant between me and you, v'zeh ikar gadol b'munas ha'el, this is a fundamental principle in faith of Judaism. So I think this really actually sounds like your suggestion. But the Mechilta actually adds on to this idea. And the Mechilta says, that's why when we count the days of the week, we count Yom Rishon, Yom Echad, Yom Rishon l'Shabbos, Yom Sheni l'Shabbos, Yom Shlishi l'Shabbos. And that's embedded in this mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos through Zachar. Honor Shabbos during the days of the week by revolving or making sure the days of the week revolve around Shabbos. So that has one manifestation of Shammai. Everything you do during your shopping during the week should be L'Shem Shabbos. It has another manifestation that you should denominate the names of the week based off Shabbos. Right. Yom Rishon the Shabbos.
The beauty of being differentiating between Kodesh and Chol. Is there something special about Chol also?
Says you.
It is.
In what sense? In a living Chol, yes. In remembering Shabbos, in not thinking about Shabbos during Chol, the Ramban would demur.
Shabbos can only be special if the rest of the week isn't Shabbos.
No one's advocating 7 days of Shabbos. What we're advocating is that the mindset of preparing for Shabbos or of making Shabbos a principle during the rest of the week is a high religious value, either in Shammai's sense or in the Ramban sense. But it doesn't mean that you're turning every doesn't mean you can't work. Sheishes yamim tasa malachtacha, right? And yeah, you have Havdalah to demarcate between Kodesh and Chol, and you have Kiddush to signal the difference. Mavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol. But that's different from saying that you should remember Shabbos during the rest of the week. Now this what that means also, I mean, it's kind of reflects back on Shabbos itself, and I'll show you this most radical manifestation in a second. What that means though is that built into the notion of Shabbos is not just experiencing Shabbos or making Shabbos, but it's actually focusing on the principle embedded in it. The notion of Yetziras Olam and Hashkach, whatever the Ramban is pointing to. I mean, just keeping Shabbos per se is not sufficient. The mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho is the cognizance of what it stands for, the creation of the world and remembering the Borei Olam. Now, some Achronim are so enamored with this concept of Kavod Shabbos during the rest of the week that they argue that the entire day of Shabbos is not a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. It's not even a time-bound mitzvah. Now here I could hear your objection. Right? It's part of discriminating between Kodesh and Chol is to say that Shabbos is only one day of the week. Right? But these Achronim are suggesting that maybe Shabbos itself is never a mitzvah saseh, or at least Kavod Shabbos, not a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, because the obligation to honor Shabbos is all week long. So that's not something that occurs once every 7 days. Kavod Shabbos and all its mitzvos is something that applies all week round. So that's our survey of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. We saw a big day Shabbos, notion of wearing clothes for Shabbos. Either that relates to just showing that it's not a day of malacha, or it relates to an actual notion of respecting the day and honoring the day through nice clothes. So a question, maybe you should take your clothes off right after Shabbos, also to point to that demarcation between Kodesh and Chol. The Gemara had a story how you should make sure your house is set nicely, your table's set, beds are made, the candles lit, and the story is of two malachim, which actually touches on that distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. You only have the story with respect to Shabbos, not with respect to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is Aliyah L'Regel, walking out. Shabbos is welcoming Shabbos into your home. You have the question, Kavod Shabbos is not just a consequentially oriented mitzvah, but it's actually yourself being involved in the preparations of Shabbos. Rava Machich Resha, and Rav Safra was Malach Shibuta. These Amoraim were involved in it themselves. You have Kabbalah Shabbos, welcoming Shabbos into the shul. That's part of the mitzvot of Kavod Shabbos. Question, do you walk out? Do you turn your head? And that also affects, maybe, the laws of damages. Because everyone's supposed to have that time to welcome Shabbos in, the Rambam said that you're allowed to rush. Or we assume people are rushing in order to have the extra couple minutes to sit there and meditatively welcome Shabbos on the seventh day. The Avodram said that the notion of singing songs, at least in Malava Malka, Motzei Shabbos, is part of this notion of honoring Shabbos, escorting Shabbos out. And we probably extend that even to welcoming Shabbos in. Now, we mentioned en passant that there seems to be some tension whether you should be trembling when you're welcoming Shabbos in, because like Shabbos HaMelech, or whether it should be Besimcha, more like Shabbos HaKala, like it's more some form of celebration or jubilation. Then we saw that there's a mitzvah of Hachana l'Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos during the rest of the week. The story was Shammai and Hillel. Here we seem to side like Shammai. Why do we side like Shammai over Hillel? So either it's like one suggestion, the Chassam Sofer, that Shammai is actually a lower, it's a less ambitious perspective, but we have to be less ambitious if you want everyone to be able to achieve it. So it's true that Kol Ma'asechel L'Shem Shammai, do everything for religion, is for religious value, is higher level of religious expression, but it's easier to do it L'Chavod Shabbos. The Ramban and Billy were suggesting the exact opposite. It's that Shabbos actually expresses a higher level of, or it's the highest theological expression of religious belief. It has the foundations of Emunah, and that's why if all week long you're thinking about Shabbos, you're doing pretty well. And then we saw the Ramban's notion that all the days of the week revolve around Shabbos by name, also to reorient ourselves around Shabbos. And finally, the expression of those achronim, that maybe Kavod Shabbos is not even a mitzvah seishes man grama, because Kavod Shabbos is really applicable just as much during the rest of the week as it is during the year. Okay, so that's our overview of mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. Next week, we'll pick up with the mitzvah of Kiddush.